What's up, guys? Hope you're doing well. Cloud with you here. And Dakota, is that you over there?
It is, Cloud. I'm back. It's good to be back on the podcast with you, man.
Thanks for being on. And this is mostly Dakota's episode. I'm going to turn it over here in a little bit. But a little introduction about why we're doing what we're doing. Y'all know that we are in our Out of Context podcast series, which is going along in the sermon series. Basically, everything we've done on Sundays, we've done on the podcast additionally in a little more in-depth and passed it up because we're Monday through Friday.
Right.
And so we're talking about the most misused verses in the Bible or out of context. Now, what we've said multiple times is that the sermon series and consequently these podcasts are based off of a book called The Most Misused Verses in the Bible. And this author's name is Eric, I'm going to butcher it, but Eric Bargraf. It's a good book. Anyways,
I can see a great name, actually.
It's on Amazon. I mean, pretty much we ripped stuff off of that book, but I mean, the order and the verses and all that. But Dakota, you and I were talking about, you know, it's not just misused verses that people take out of context. And, you know, that's what we built the series on. There's also misused narratives or stories in the Bible that people have just misused for years. And so the same author has written two books. One of them is called The Most Misused Verses in the Bible. And he's written another one called The Most Misused Stories in the Bible. And, you know, man, I think that, you know, we may see that again in a sermon series, may see it again on this podcast.
Yeah.
But you and I were talking about, hey, you want to sign up for some of these episodes. And this idea came up as well, where it's like, it's not just verses. It's also narratives or stories or plot points in the Bible that are misused.
Or a whole book in this instance.
Yeah, a whole book. And so Dakota was talking about, he's recently gone through the book of Jonah. And that's one of the chapters in this guy's book. He says the book of Jonah is one of the most misused stories in the Bible.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking. I was like perusing this chapter and I was like, you know, I've heard some of the verses that are out of context. I'm like, oh, that's not what that's talking about. But I couldn't call to mind exactly in what ways Jonah, the book itself, has been misused.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know that I've necessarily heard this. In his book, he's talking about, like, it's more of an emphasis thing. It's not necessarily that it's used out of context. It's just that it's wrong emphasis.
Yes.
And so he's talking about, like, oh, the emphasis is on the whale or the fish. Whatever.
Exactly.
We can get into that. But I was just like, I didn't have the coloring book thing as a kid. So that's my question to you, and I want to turn it over to you. In what ways has Jonah been misused or perhaps taken out of context over the years?
Yeah, I agree with the book. I think that ultimately, I think the point that I want us to highlight today is that we miss the point when it comes to the book of Jonah. Like, the fish gets all the press. So we're like, we're doing this in our in the college ministry this semester. So I've been like up to my nose in Jonah. And I just think that we missed the point. The fish gets all the press. We don't really, I think often when we're telling the story, oftentimes to kids, like we talk about like these supernatural, like awesome, crazy things that like God did, which is great. And we should teach kids that like there are miracles. Miracles are something that only God could do, right? These things that show us the supernatural God, that he intervenes into our lives. But when it comes to the story of Jonah, the book of Jonah, like the whole point is that God is more serious than we could ever imagine when it comes to sin.
Yeah, there's like a much bigger picture than just the whale. Like,
yes. So the whole, so I'm like giving like a big overview right now. Like if I could
overview
like
of
give
Jonah.
Some like big overviews of the book of Jonah, this would be number one.
How to not miss the point.
Yes. God is more serious than we could ever imagine when it comes to sin. And God is also more compassionate and merciful and gracious than we could ever imagine.
Ooh, that's good. That's like that Tim Keller quote, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like,
you're far more of a sinner than you think you are, but you're far more loved than you thought.
Yeah, exactly. And so overview, major overview, like bullet points of the book is that God calls this prophet. He's just one of the prophets in his generation. He calls him to go to this, the nation of Assyria, to this city named Nineveh. And he's going to go and he's going to preach. And Jonah's like, I'm out. There's no way that I'm doing that because the Assyrians
Dirty people.
Yes. Yeah. Like one of the most wicked and messed up empires that we know of in human history.
Yep. Sworn enemy of Israel.
Yes. And Jonah's like, I'm going to go the opposite direction of that. And so the story goes, like God calls him to Nineveh. He goes the opposite direction.
I'm going to Tarshish.
Yeah, Tarshish, which was like the opposite side of the map, like the opposite side of the known world at that time. And he finds a boat, gets on a boat, and then he's off, right? Well, then it says that God sends this storm, and the ship begins to break up, and these sailors like begin like, what's going on? And anyways, like long story short, the sailors start worshiping God.
Yeah.
Jonah gets
thrown. They respect God more than him. Exactly. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the irony, is like these pagan, like Gentile sailors, like respond
to Yahweh.
To Yahweh before the prophet of Yahweh does.
Yeah.
Which is like the part of the story, right? The storm ceases, and then God sends the fish, right? And Jonah calls out. Jonah 2 is like him calling out. It's Jonah's prayer, him calling out to God from inside the fish.
And it's almost like he wishes to die too.
He's
I don't want to go to Nineveh. Just kill me. Right, like, right. He does that so many times.
And something that I think too, again, maybe another misused, a way this narrative is misused, is that a lot of times I'll see Christians that have like tried to explain in natural, like biological terms, how Jonah could have survived. It's like, well, it could have happened this way, and it could have been this sort of creature, and it's possible that he could have lived for three. And I'm like, that misses the point.
Yeah. Right. It's the like trying to explain it with science and all that. Like, not that it couldn't be explained, but.
Sure. But again, that misses the point. The whole point of this is that God uses supernatural means to intervene sometimes to accomplish his purposes and to change our hearts.
Absolutely.
And so, right, again, so yeah, so the supernatural, what I've called divine interruptions, like, is he sends the storm, he sends the fish, and then the fish spits it back out on the dry land, and then Jonah finally goes and he preaches to the people. You know, and then Jonah's mad. He's still mad at
fine,
God.
I'll do this.
Yeah,
I hate you.
Yeah. And so, but ultimately, it's crazy because this whole nation, at a 5-word sermon, repents and turns to God.
Yeah.
And then God relents and he has mercy and compassion on them. And then Jonah pouts and he's mad about it.
Yeah. And that's like the end of the book, basically. It's
it's like you want to read through Jonah, but it's like, actually, no, like, at no point do we want to be like Jonah. Like,
he's just mad, and then the book ends. You don't know how it resolves, really.
Yeah,
it's four
yeah.
chapters, right? And there's no...
Yeah, the four... And so Jonah, this is Jonah 4:2. He basically says, God, this is why I didn't want to go, because I knew that you're a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster.
Such a beautiful truth has made someone so angry.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's because he didn't believe these people deserved it.
Yeah.
He didn't want them. He didn't think that they deserved God's mercy and his grace and his covenant love.
Which is crazy, because Israel didn't deserve it either.
Yeah.
And Jonah certainly didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's great. That's like an overview of the book of Jonah. And mm-hmm. so, you know, honestly, one of the biggest, you were saying, like, how is this misused? We put the wrong emphasis on certain things, or like you said, I even said whale, and you're like, mm-hmm. I don't think the Bible even says whale, right? I just automatically have heard that so often.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's where the emphasis went, like, in all this explanation and science,
right.
And like, boom. All right, the main message has been gone. What's also amazing is that Jesus himself talks about the sign of Jonah.
Yes.
In other words, dying and resurrecting, mm-hmm. which is like what happened to Jonah.
Exactly.
Being buried in the depths in this fish.
Yep.
Symbolizing death, burial to the depth, you know,
right,
and then the resurrection, the fish spits him out. And like, Jesus uses the story itself mm-hmm. to show his whole mission.
Yeah,
which, when we're not misusing the Bible, we're reading the New Testament in light of the Old, and reading the Old in light of the New,
right?
And that's how we come to meaning and really the proper emphasis on the book of Jonah.
Yeah.
So you also said you had some other takeaways, like,
yeah,
some
practical takeaways, but that's one of them. Ultimately, is that the book of Jonah points us to Jesus.
Yeah,
that God goes through these crazy lengths, these supernatural wild events, to send a prophet that he needs to change the prophet's heart, but he also is so that he could save the people of Assyria, people of Nineveh. ultimate points is to Jesus.
Yes.
That God would go through this crazy link, this supernatural intervention to send his son so that he could save and rescue anyone that would trust in him.
A little bit more difficult to have that in your coloring book when you're in.
right.
That's
yes.
a little more complex story and how you apply yes. that and yeah. interpret it.
So. But yeah, some other takeaways I have is like, you know what I've been constantly telling the college students, like, hey, don't be like Jonah.
Yeah.
Like the point of Jonah is that we don't want to be like Jonah.
Yeah.
Like we want to, like when God calls us to do something, we want to do it.
Yeah.
And when God gives us a second
for
chance.
For the right motives too.
Yes. Yeah. And when God gives you a second chance, we better take it.
Yeah.
Like we, when we know that God's calling us to take a step, like we better do it because God's commands, they're not these recommendations for us to consider. When God gives us a command, it's something that we should treasure and to trust and to believe and to obey.
Yeah.
And
it's like when I was a kid and my old man was like, I wasn't asking, I was telling.
Yeah.
And it made you mad. And it's like, God's kind of like that because he's the Lord. But yeah. also it's like, oh no, this is good. I want to obey.
Right.
Like the Psalms talks about how to obey is better than gold. Yeah.
Yes. All about his commands and his words and his decrees and how they're to be treasured and how they're for our good. How they bring joy. And so another practical takeaway, and this really comes from chapter 1, verse 4, when the ship that he was on begins to break up, God sends the storm, the ship begins to break up. A question that I've asked is, what in my life am I trusting in that maybe God needs to break up? And he needs to bust up in my life to get my attention, to turn back to him. Another takeaway that I have is that it's really difficult for us to know God's will for our lives when we've already determined what we want his past to look like for us.
Oh, yeah.
Let me say that a little bit more clearly. Like, it's difficult for us to be sensitive to God's leading in his path for our life.
Well, we've already...
Exactly, when we've already determined what we want his path to look like for us.
Yeah. Man, that is... I interrupt you like that.
Yeah.
That's my own personal life. I know we all probably struggle with that, but I can't remember where it is, but there's a verse in Jonah. Is it chapter 3 where Jonah's pouting, he's angry, and God's like, do you do well to be mad? Do you do well to be angry?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like the crux of what you're saying, that takeaway where it's like, it's hard to see what God's path is when you're mad that you didn't get what you want or how you thought it would, yeah. should look or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you do well to be mad?
Right.
Yeah, sorry, interrupted.
No, you're good. You're good. And then just the final thing that I have is when it comes to like the thought of this wicked, evil empire that turned to the Lord, it's a reminder for us that there's no one that's too far from God to be transformed by the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
So the person in your life, whether it be someone in your family or a friend or a coworker or whoever, that you just feel like, man, there's no shot like at them ever like coming to know Christ or them ever becoming a Christian. Like, just don't forget, there's no one that's too far from God.
Awesome. Man, Dakota, thank you so much. I know that's like 4 chapters and we've condensed it and there's so much more to be had, but it's also ultimately getting at the like, hey, don't misuse the story. Don't miss the point. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for going through an overview to remind us some of the big key takeaways from that.
Yeah.
And then also to apply it into our lives. So, man, thank you for coming on.
It's great, man.
Tomorrow, I think I'm going to talk about another narrative, and then we'll kind of wrap this series up, but it's going to be good. So thanks for y'all for listening in, and we'll see you on the next episode.
See you guys.